morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Welcome back to our Sunday school class, Living as a Church. We are continuing this morning the second part of our class. In the end, we'll have three parts with kind of three different themes. But the overall theme of the second part of this three parts is fostering unity in the church. We're particularly considering the things that we do together, both in our corporate worship and in our lives as we scatter and live together, and how those things foster our unity. So today we're going to be thinking about spiritual gifts. So let's start this way, a little discussion. What is the best gift that you have ever received, and why was it so meaningful? What is the best gift you've ever received, and why was it so meaningful?
The best gift you've ever received.
Yeah.
I got a PlayStation 2 once.
Yes, for now, as a way to think about spiritual gifts, non-spiritual gifts, what's the best gift you've ever received? Why? Is it your kids? Okay.
Yeah,
that's a very good answer. And grandkids. How do you rank those? Salvation. Amen.
My kids are okay. I really like my kayaks.
Why do you like your kayaks so much? Why
so many? It was just such a special gift because I have been like desiring to have them for many years.
Mm-hmm. He likes to look at them on top of the car.
Why they never come down?
You can't get them down.
You guys don't put something on top of the car?
I can't get them down myself right now. No.
That's right. Okay. Any other thoughts of meaningful gifts? It's a lot of pressure. Most meaningful. Best gift. How about just a meaningful gift?
Yeah, really good friendship.
Mm. That's really important.
Okay.
I got a PlayStation 2.
And you, hours and hours of fun, huh?
It's too obvious. God's grace.
God's grace. Amen. Well, we're going to be thinking about a lot of that this morning. Well, yeah, I think thinking of gifts encourages us, right? They are often meaningful. That's not to say we haven't received poor gifts. But yeah, it's encouraging to think of the things that people in love give us for our good, right? That bless us so much. Well, today we're going to be thinking about the gifts that we have received from God, not material possessions, though we have received those from Him as well, but particularly spiritual gifts, right? Considering the gifts that God has given, and the surprising fact that God has given every Christian these spiritual gifts, every believer is endowed with these gifts, and particularly that they're not for our good only. Though they are for our good, they're also for the good of everyone else, for the good of the church. Before we get started, I do want to recommend a book. This is Spiritual Gifts, What They Are and Why They Matter by Thomas Schreiner. It's particularly written to be a simple read, question and answer format. It's a very, very helpful book to read. So I'd recommend this if you're looking for further study on spiritual gifts. Today we're going to have four parts in our outline. First, we're going to consider the giver of gifts, God Himself, the kinds of gifts, so we're going to go through a list of the gifts in the New Testament, the purpose of the gifts, why God gives these gifts, and finally, how we exercise gifts in the church, So gives or gifts, the kind of gifts, the purpose of gifts in the church. We're going to start, if you open your Bibles with me, to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read the entire chapter, which is addressing spiritual gifts, and begin our discussion here. If your Bible has bookmarks, I would encourage you to place a bookmark in 1 Corinthians 12, or keep your thumb there. There are three primary places, four primary places in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts here. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Romans 12, and a few verses there, 1 Peter 4, and then Ephesians 4. So we're going to look at all of them today and go back and forth between them, so you might be helped by keeping bookmarks in them. Fortunately, they're all pretty close and easy to find. So, who would like to read for us all 31 verses of 1 Corinthians 12?
I'll go.
Thank you, Bill.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all, everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit, but for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the Holy Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacks it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. All right, we're just reading this whole passage because it's a great introduction. Paul helpfully starts us in verse 1, right, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, right? He's going to write to us of spiritual gifts. And really, he continues on this theme in chapter 13 and through even 14 as he gets into the exercise of these gifts and the orderly worship. I want to draw a few things for us this morning from 1 Corinthians 12, just to start us. First of all, where do gifts come from, according to 1 Corinthians 12? Where do gifts come from? God. What was that, Bill?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Where do you see that in 1 Corinthians 12?
At least in verse 4, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit.
Okay. Yeah, you see that phrase, same Spirit reiterated, right? Same Spirit in verse 4, varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them and everyone. Continuing on, right, at the end of verse 8, to the same Spirit, faith by the same Spirit, gifts of healing by one Spirit, right? And then he kind of assumes that going on, right? That's going to be the end. In particular, I think 11 is really where it gets punched home for us. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, right? His point, his overarching point really through this whole first section is that all gifts come from the Spirit, right? All these gifts come from the Spirit. So God, the Holy Spirit, gives believers gifts, right? These are not, you know, manufactured by our willpower, by something that we do. These come from God. I just want to point out here, we'll read 1 Peter 4 later. 1 Peter 4 also talks about our spiritual gifts, but you don't have to turn there now. I just want to point out that it calls us to be stewards. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So in our gifts, we are stewarding something that has been given to us, right? We don't get to choose our gifts, right? Only steward them given to us by the Spirit. Second thing I want to observe from 1 Corinthians 12, this is kind of an implication, right? But particularly, we see this in the first three verses. Therefore, if the Spirit gives spiritual gifts, one must have the Holy Spirit to have a spiritual gift, right? I think this is particularly the point in verse 3, right? I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly, we have to read beyond those words. Certainly, a non-Christian can utter the words Jesus is Lord. He's talking about the actual utterance of faith, right? Real faith produced by the Holy Spirit that would call Jesus Lord. Right, but his point here is that in order to have a spiritual gift, you have to have the Holy Spirit. And how is it that you have the Holy Spirit?
Through faith, Chris?
Through faith, yeah. Yeah, this is one and the same, right? That to be converted to Christ is to have the Holy Spirit, right? There's no category of Christian that has not yet received the Holy Spirit, right? So to have the Holy Spirit is to be converted. And then, therefore, to have the Holy Spirit is to have spiritual gifts. Every Christian, therefore, has a gift. And that's the third thing I want to observe here. Every Christian has a gift. I think we see this particularly in verse 7 and 11. So, verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each is given. And then, the second half of verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So, all these together, right? The gifts come from the Spirit. To have the spiritual gifts requires you to have the Holy Spirit, and therefore every Christian has a gift. In our church's Confession of Faith, paragraph 8 is on the Holy Spirit. We say this, that the Holy Spirit distributes ministry gifts to every believer according to His sovereign good pleasure for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. So that is what we confess together as a church. So here, just at the start, we're going to see this, that all spiritual gifts come from the Spirit. All believers have the Holy Spirit, and therefore all Christians have a gift. We cannot kind of throw up our hands and say, I have no gift. The Spirit has not gifted me. You might not know yet how He has gifted you, but all Christians have a gift. We're going to get next into the kinds of gifts, right? We read two lists here of gifts, I think kind of in section verses 4 through 10, and then at the end, 27 through 30. But I just want to leave room quickly. Are there any questions about that first, the giver of gifts, where they come from, and the fact that all believers have them? Any questions? No. Okay. All right. So let's get into the kinds of gifts. We're gonna look through each of the lists in Scripture, see how long that takes us. But before we get there, I want to define spiritual gifts. You might have noticed as we went through here that Paul refers to them by a few different names, right? In verse 1, he calls them spiritual gifts. But in verse 5, he calls them services. In 6, he calls them activities, right? In 7, he calls them a manifestation of the Spirit. Right, other places they're just called simply gifts. Paul will refer to them simply by the word grace as well. So a grace. The term that we most often might think of is charisma or charismata, the plural, right? Where we get the word charismatic, right? Someone who has charisma, or charismatic, right? That's a literal transliteration of the Greek word charisma, charismata, right? And you might hear in that Greek word something else, right? Does anybody recognize a part of that word?
Care?
Well.
Charisma.
Chariz. Yeah, it's the Greek word for grace, right? So this is actually the two parts put together, right? It's very much literally grace gifts. Charisma, charismata. These are grace gifts. So if you ever know anybody with the name Charis, spelled... Yeah. CH, that's grace, right? They name their child Grace, right? So you hear in that word that these are grace gifts. So even here at the start, what Paul calls them, what the New Testament calls them, highlights the nature of these gifts, right? These are not earned gifts, right? It's kind of an oxymoron to have a gift you earn, right? But But to emphasize that these gifts are by grace, they're called grace gifts, right? Endowments by grace, right? These are part of the blessings that we receive in Christ, right? It's not that this believer has earned this gift and this believer has earned that gift, right? God giving their due. No. These are all by grace, right? Earned for us by Christ's substitutionary death on the cross, as with all the blessings that we have in Christ. So even the fact that we have these gifts is a reminder to us of the gospel, of Christ's love for us, and the blessings he has secured for us in his life, death, and resurrection. So they are grace gifts, you can think of them. But we should read some of the other lists in Scripture in order to fill out our picture, because the lists in 1 Corinthians 12 are not exhaustive. So if you keep your thumb or bookmark in 1 Corinthians 12, first turn back to me to an earlier letter, Romans 12. Romans 12, where there's a short list in verses 4 through 8. But we're going to start reading in verse 3. So Romans 12, 3 through 8 is a second list of the spiritual gifts in Scripture, the charisma. Would someone be willing to read Romans 12, 3 through 8?
Okay.
Thank you.
For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, we see another list of spiritual gifts here. Some that are similar to what we saw in 1 Corinthians 12. Some that are different. We're going to attempt to list them all in a moment. But third, I want us to turn to, what order should we do this in? Let's go to 1 Peter 4, what I mentioned earlier. This is a short list, but the Apostle Peter as well lists some gifts. Why don't we read 10 and 11? Could someone read those two verses for us? 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11.
As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, he really only lists two gifts here, speaking and serving, and some see this as categories of gifts. But again, Peter's giving a list. We're going to return to this because it tells us a lot about the purpose of gifts. But for now, we're just looking at the list of gifts. And finally, the last place we're going to look is Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And that in verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. So they get shorter as we go on. Here, just one verse.
And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers.
That's it. That's right. Thank you. Yeah, so these are gifts. You can see in verse 7, he's referring, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And talks about the gifts he gives here in verse 11. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. These are particularly, seem like less like gifts and more like people. But we understand these to be people who have particular gifts of apostleship, prophecy, evangelism, of teaching. All right, so those are the four lists in the New Testament of spiritual gifts. And I wonder if we could try, if in whatever one of those lists you want to keep open to or flip to, I want to list out the gifts. Because we'll note that none of these lists is comprehensive. So if you think of a gift, we'll write it down here and see how many we come up with. So what list we see?
Apostle.
Apostle. Good luck reading my handwriting.
Prophet.
Or prophecy. What else?
Teaching.
Miracles. Evangelist. or evangelism, healing. Okay.
Administrating.
Tongues. Speaking in tongues. Tongues.
Interpreting
tongues. Interpretation.
So Ephesians lists shepherds and teachers separately.
It does indeed.
Mine has pastors instead of shepherds.
What translation? Is that NIV?
Yes.
NIV. Thank you. Yeah, so it is the translation of shepherd, pastor.
Service.
There's some more in 1 Corinthians 12 I think we've missed.
Helping.
Discernment.
Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 12:10 is this discerning spirits. Whoop. That's a word. Okay. Wisdom, so utterances of wisdom.
And knowledge.
Of wisdom. Yeah, he lists those. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about everyone, but
Exhortation.
Well, he lists them separately.
He does. Yeah, we'll get there in a minute.
Faith.
It's a gift.
Did you say grace already?
We didn't. What are you thinking of? Particularly.
Mercy.
Yeah.
No.
Mercy.
Knowledge.
Are you thinking of utterances of knowledge? Is that? I'm putting that here with utterances. We'll get there in a minute, but I put them together. Yep.
Giving,
and then you said
discernment.
I put that up here.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You counting them? See how many we got?
We got a comprehensive list.
I think this is a pretty thorough list. I might be missing something, but
would intercessor. Somebody who just prays, just really is good at praying.
I think that is a we'll get there in a second. I think that is a gift, but I don't see it listed here in any of these four scriptures. Love? Are you adding to what is listed in these four passages? Where are you thinking in these four passages that love is listed?
It says in Romans 12:9. Let love. He's like, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without a box.
Amen. Yeah, I would say that's he's finished his list there. So certainly let's talk about this a little bit. Some notes on this list. First of all, we noted that none of the lists that we read are exhaustive, comprehensive, right? It's not like Paul sat down to write 1 Corinthians or Romans 12 and he broke out the memo from Jesus or the memo from the Holy Spirit. Here's the list of the gifts. Let's throw this in Romans 12, let's throw this in 1 Corinthians 12. What might it imply that none of the lists are comprehensive or the same?
That there are even more gifts outside of me.
Yeah, so that there aren't, there are likely more gifts, intercession, we could say love is a gift, right, that aren't included in these lists, right, that they're kind of saying what comes to mind, or it's inspired by the Holy Spirit, or he thinks particularly he needs to instruct them on in 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, there are likely more gifts than these. But I think it's pointless for us to speculate. We can't be certain for sure what we call as gifts or not.
He uses the body as an example.
Yep.
And he mentions, three parts of the body?
That's right.
Clearly, yeah.
Eyes, ears,
body,
amen.
As we can see.
That's right.
So because the body is an analogy of
that's right.
The body has, I don't know how many gifts.
Yep. Yep.
Gifts, you might call them,
Yep. Yep.
But they all have a single purpose, and that's,
amen.
That's the point of all of
this. That's right. That's the point of all this. We'll get there in our next point. But yeah, so certainly these lists are not exhaustive. There can be more here. I people sometimes joke about the spiritual gift they have. Sometimes those aren't actually spiritual gifts, right? Complaining is not a spiritual gift, right? He doesn't give that. But yeah, we should understand that there's more than what's listed here. Another thing I want to mention is what's surprising to me about 1 Corinthians 12 that teaching isn't listed there. One thing that is in every list is teaching. So if you think about Romans 12 includes it, 1 Peter 4 includes it, Ephesians 4 includes it, 1 Corinthians 12 doesn't include it. So I would actually argue, you don't have to agree with me, but I would argue that these two, utterances of wisdom and utterances of knowledge, are actually teaching. It would be very surprising to me if Paul would not include in his list teaching. Others have observed this as well. So I would say that these two are equal. When he talks about utterances of wisdom and knowledge, he is talking about the gift of teaching. These are one in the same here. Okay? Let's see. I think another surprising thing about this list is the appearance of things that all Christians have. Right? Faith. Mercy. Giving. Are all Christians... Do all Christians have faith? Yes. All Christians called to show mercy. Yes. All Christians commanded to give. Yes. Okay, so why are these particularly spiritual gifts?
Because they don't come in. They don't come from within us.
They don't come from within us. Okay. All right. So
faith is a gift.
You could say so that.
The
yeah.
Of faith that we've been given.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So certainly everything we have we've received from God. So everything. Yeah. Everything's a gift. Yeah. Actually, I would even add more to this is discerning, right? All Christians. It's not like there's some undiscerning Christians out there.
There are some,
but all Christians are called to be discerning, yeah.
I think that some there's more than others.
Yes, yeah, so I think the part of the point here is that some Christians particularly have this as a gift. Right? I think you can maybe think of an example of someone who has a particular confidence in God, right, in the gift of faith, or someone who is particularly merciful, shows particular benevolence to those in need that might have the gift of mercy. Or you think of someone who's particularly generous, right, who has a particular way of giving away what they have for the good of others, right? You can think of Christians who are all Christians are called to be discerning, but you can think of Christians who are particularly discerning. So I just want to point out here that some of these things are, you know, not all Christians are called to teach in the way that he's thinking of here. Certainly not all Christians are called to perform miracles. We could probably add evangelism, but you can think of some Christians who particularly are fruitful, faithful evangelists, right? I think I just want to make the point there that when we think about the difference between gifts and talents, right? Some of these might seem like naturally like talents. Maybe service and helping, right? That you know, someone who's just born naturally, someone who loves to help, someone who loves to serve, you know, or maybe administration is another one, right? That maybe just naturally they were born as an administrator, they have that natural gift. So are those not spiritual gifts, or are they? Right? Here's how one commentator put it: the list as a whole contains an impressive mixture of what some might label natural and supernatural endowments, or spectacular and more ordinary gifts, right? Paul's overarching doctrine of divine sovereignty is precisely what can prompt him to ask the Corinthians elsewhere, this is 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? So this suggests in turn that Paul would not have been uncomfortable with spiritual gifts made up of some mix of so-called natural talent, what we would still consider to be God's gift, and of specific spirit in energized endowment. So I think maybe normally when you think of spiritual gifts, you think of you know, prophecy, these utterances of wisdom, maybe, you know, tongues and interpretations of tongues. But actually, you know, the things as simple as administrating is a gift given by a spirit, right? That might have been evident before you became a Christian, but now, by the Spirit's empowerment, is used particularly for God in His kingdom.
That's what makes it spiritual.
That's what, yep.
Using it, mm-hmm. When the Spirit is using that.
The Spirit is using it. Amen.
As opposed to just, you know, fleshly use.
Amen. Yep.
Music.
Yep.
Musicians,
yeah.
Are a prime example of that. Many non-spiritual musicians, mm-hmm. Right?
Yep. Yeah, it's surprising that the music didn't make the list.
It's probably a service and helping to those that...
Yeah, everybody...
Called
everybody's
to
called... Help. Everybody's called to do, yep. But there's particularly gifted people that you probably think of. Yeah, well said. Yep.
So, I think it's important that we consider the impact. Just because you don't, you know, turn water into wine doesn't mean that your service or helping mm-hmm. impact on somebody is not incredible.
Amen.
So, for example, if a car breaks down in our parking lot,
yep.
they have no way to fix it.
Yep.
Your assistance, just helping them, is a miracle for that person. Mm. So don't diminish
yep.
something that seems so simple on the whiteboard as something that's not impactful, because the person you're working with might seem
amen.
It might be the nicest thing that's
amen.
Happened to them.
Amen. Thank you. That's true.
And that's how God uses it, I think.
Yeah, we have to. You know, Paul had no problem putting these together. Like, and yeah, and he, yeah, well said. I want to ask a trick question, or maybe a tricky question. Which gift is most important? Which gift is most important?
My gift.
Paul got it right. My
gift.
The one you're gifted with. That's a good answer.
Faith.
Okay.
Why would you ask that?
Yeah, why would I ask that? Because I want you to think. Well, is that a fair question to ask?
I would say love.
Love.
Paul said.
The grace of these is love. Amen.
I'll show you a still a better way.
Yep.
I don't know that you could say one is more important than the other, because of the fact that if you look at how it's written in Scripture, right,
yep.
it talks about the eyes, the
yep.
hands, the feet. You can't function without
Amen.
All of those things.
Amen.
Right? So you can't say one is more important than the other, because you can't function without all of them.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, it is a trick question. I'm trying to stump you. All right, look, if you have your thumb in 1 Corinthians 12, look at 31 again with me, the last verse we read. Paul commands the Corinthians to earnestly, with zeal, desire the higher gifts. The higher gifts? Whoa, whoa, whoa. No gifts more important. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. Look at 13:13, right? What Brother Andy pointed out. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Right? We're building a case here. Keep going to 14:5. You know, as he continues to talk about the exercise of his gifts, he says, "Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy." Tongues is good. Prophecy is superior. What? Why? The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. What? Why? Unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. What makes the gift greater, according to 1 Corinthians 13:13 or 1 Corinthians 14:5?
It brings unity and love within the church.
It brings unity and love in the church. Yeah, that's the end of verse 5, right? So the church may be built up. The grace of these is love. What's that?
Edification.
That's right. Yeah, we'll look at this verse again later, but 1 Corinthians 14:12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Strive to excel in building up the church. So it is a trick question. It's tricky to answer as well, right? He does say that there are higher gifts. He does say in verse 5, right, that the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. But it's not that the person with these gifts is superior or inferior, right? That's the whole point of the body metaphor, right? That the things that we think are dishonorable or to be hidden, right? God has bestowed on that greater honor. Every part of the body is necessary. But he says that particularly the exercise of some of these gifts are greater because they bring up the body. They build up the body, right? that prophecy is greater than tongues because they're intelligible to all. So that they can excel in building up the church.
So it's only greater if there's no one to interpret.
That's true. That's a good point.
Even though we can't choose our gifts,
yep.
We are exhorted to we are. Desire them.
That's right. Yeah, we are called to earnestly desire other gifts multiple times here. In yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do want to point out, we'll consider this more in our next point, but the more excellent way is love. Right, so if love might be one of these spiritual gifts, but it certainly is the way that we're to exercise all the spiritual gifts. Right, that's why packed in the middle of the discussion of spiritual gifts is this you know wedding sermon of 1 Corinthians 13. It's love, and how does it begin? It talks about the use of gifts without love. Right, if I speak in tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, another gift, right? And understand all mysteries and all knowledge, right? And if I have all faith, all these are gifts he's talking about. So as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, if I give away all that I have, another spiritual gift, if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Right? So what he's saying is that all these gifts are useless. They're worthless. They're nothing if not exercised in love. So again, as we think about the importance of the gifts, what gift is most important? Well, it's the gift that's exercised in love. It's the gift that is used best to excel in building up the body of Christ. So whatever gift it is, used for that end. I think the last question I want to talk about, the list of these gifts, is are some of these gifts no longer being used? I.e. sign gifts, as some call them. So I want to make a quick case. We could spend a long time on this, but I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Here in chapter 2, he begins exhorting them to pay closer attention to the message that they have heard, lest they drift away from it. Right? And he warns them because this is a great salvation. And how was it confirmed here, verse 3 and 4? Can someone read those for us?
How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders, and by various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will.
Great. So here's another place in the New Testament that says that gifts are given by the will of the Holy Spirit. Right, but I think this is an argument. There are other places we could go to talk about this, but particularly that the gifts, the miracle gifts, the sign gifts, are meant to be a confirmation of the gospel message, right? As we read through the book of Acts, right, the apostles in their miraculous gifts, what was the point of those? It says, it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness. Bore witness. The purpose of these gifts is to bear witness to the veracity of the message the apostles proclaimed. God bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So yeah, I just make the quick point that I do believe that a number of these gifts are no longer available to believers, so particularly apostleship, right? That there were a certain number of apostles and there are no more apostles. The apostolic age has ended with the apostles as they died. I would say particularly the gift of healing, as we see it exercised in the book of Acts, right? You know, Paul just proclaiming, you are healed, right? This is not to say that God cannot heal. We're commanded by James 5 to pray for healing, that the prayer of a righteous man can heal. But I think particularly the gift of healing, as it's seen in the New Testament, I would, in my understanding of prophecy, where we put it, the gift of prophecy is ended, right? The revelation from God through prophets is closed with the end of the New Testament, right? There's no longer any need of prophecy. In my understanding of miracles, the gift of miracles, these were given by God to the apostles to confirm the veracity of their message. And I would add also tongues and the interpretation of tongues.
That's sad.
Right. That's sad?
Sad.
Did you want some of those gifts? I'm sorry.
It would be nice to see those gifts still.
What's that?
It would be nice to see those gifts.
It would be nice to see those gifts. Now, certainly, I want to point out here, right, that this is not... certainly Christians, you immediately think of Christians that disagree with this, right? Right? This is not agreed on by all Christians. Some Christians do believe that these gifts continue and exercise these gifts. My first internship at a church was at a church that exercised what we would call the sign gifts. I've had prophecy spoken over me. I've heard people speak in tongues and interpret tongues. I was a member at a church for a long time that exercised the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues in their gathering. All right, so this is not, right, we're not talking about Orthodox Christianity or outside Christianity. But I do want to point out that in order to be a church together, we have to agree on these things, right? Either these gifts are going to be exercised in our community or they are not, right? Right, we can't just have someone walk into our church and say, I have the gift of tongues and start giving the gifts of tongues in the middle of our public gathering. So while there are churches that believe in these sign gifts and exercise them continually, right, we are, as a part of our corporate identity as a church, we do not believe that these sign gifts can continue and therefore are not exercised together. Right, that's not to say that you individually can't have different or varying convictions, but we as a church together hold that position. essentially, we cannot function as a church and disagree on this point, right? It would be chaos, right? And that's the point of 1 Corinthians 14, right? Let all things be done in order, decently. That's not much of an argument, but any questions on that?
I mean, is that... So we have that in our statement of doctrine, that we don't believe those particular gifts?
Not spelled out that directly. No. No.
So, remember that.
Yeah. So paragraph 8 talks about the distribution of the gifts, but it doesn't list out the gifts and which ones are, which ones are not, certainly.
Because it's according to God's will, right? Mm-hmm. God's the one who gives the gifts.
Amen. Yes.
So if he decides to give somebody a gift of miracles, who are we to say that they don't have it?
Amen. That's a good point. Who are we to say? I would certainly say we should not expect that, given... That from Hebrews 2, my understanding is that the gifts are given to confirm the veracity of the message of the apostles, that has been confirmed and inscripturated in the Bible, right? We need no longer confirmation. We have it right here. And therefore, those gifts are no longer necessary. Now, certainly, I mean, I'm speaking as someone who has friends who believes in these gifts and practices them, who knows missionaries who claim to see them exercised on the missions field, right? So this is certainly a controversial topic where Christians disagree. Yeah.
I mean, and also, you know, I realize the 12 apostles are currently no longer with us, mm-hmm. walking among us on this.
Amen.
But we do have, in a way, apostles, because the word apostle is the sent one.
Yep.
And Jesus himself is also referred to as the apostle.
Amen.
You know?
Yep.
So we have sent ones today.
Amen. Yeah, and that's where I would distinguish the gift of apostleship versus... apostles, right? So every Christian is called to serve, but there's a gift of service, right? Every Christian is called to help, but there's a gift of helping. So every Christian is called to be an apostle, one sent by God, as Jesus is, but the gift of apostleship, I would say, is closed, right?
Well, it's no longer given. There are some who are specifically sent, you know, like missionaries.
Sure, sure. But again, I wouldn't call that the gift of apostleship, right? The gift of apostleship, I think, included, particularly with it, the gift of prophecy, right? And the gift of healing, right? And even Paul spoke in tongues, right? So a number of these sign gifts included with that, right, to confirm their message, right? There are capital A apostles that are no longer with us. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, regardless if they're all in there or all out of there, it is nice to talk about them.
Amen. Yeah, and if you are curious, right, I would, again, encourage you to read this book, the whole. When does it start? Much of this book is about... Basically, this whole half is about whether or not these gifts continue, right? These sign miraculous gifts. So it's a really helpful book. Spiritual Gifts by Tom Schreiner. What they are and why they matter. All right. But we really need to talk about the purpose of the gifts, brothers and sisters, right? Here we are at 10:15. Good discussion, right? I want to start with glorifying God. So 1 Peter 4. What does 1 Peter 4, 10-11 tell us the gifts, the purpose of the gifts are?
God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Yes. That's the crescendo of these verses. In order, then everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And I just want to point out, whose grace is being stewarded here? In verse 10. Whose grace?
God's.
Whose oracles are being spoken in verse 11?
God.
Whose strength empowers service in verse 11?
God.
How could it possibly lead to man's glory, right? Who gets the glory when, by God's grace, God's oracles and God's strength are being exercised?
God.
Jesus. God, right? That's the point here, right? That the emphasis is on God's grace, speaking God's oracles by God's strength, in order that in everything God would be glorified, God would get the glory, right? So there needs to be an evident display that these things come from God, right? So first of all, that the purpose of the gifts is to bring God glory. Now turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12. A second purpose of these gifts is to think soberly about ourselves and others. So this list is in the context, in verse 3, he says, he commands them, for the grace given by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. He starts by saying, for by the grace given to me. What grace had been given to Paul?
God's grace.
What charisma does Paul have? Christ appearing to him.
Being an apostle.
He's an apostle. He has the gift of apostleship. So by the grace given to me as an apostle, I have the authority to say to everyone among you, do not think of yourselves more highly than he ought to think. Right? He's calling us to think with sober judgment. I think we might be tempted to think of ourselves when we differ, when we have different gifts, either to be tempted to desire the gifts that other people have, to be like them, or to be to desire to be better than others in pride, or to think poorly of ourselves in pride because we don't have the gifts that others have. Right? That's what the point of Paul's exhortation is here, is to be sober, to remember that we all are members of the body. We do not all have the same function, he says in verse 4. But we are one body in Christ and members of one another. Right? What's the point of comparing yourself to one another when we're all members of the same body, when we're one in Christ? Right? The divisions that you might think of in the division of giftings is pointless when you remember that we're all one in Christ. Right? Right? And then finally, to build unity. So glorify God, to bring humility, but also to build unity. Right? I do want to point out that in each of these lists we read, it's in the context of love. Right? That he's exhorting us to exercise these gifts for love, in the context of love. Right? Why is it so important that the gifts be exercised, that as the apostles instruct us on these gifts, that it's in the context of love?
If we're not executing it in love, then we're not executing it what God wants us to execute, right? It's just for ourselves.
That's right. Go read 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing without love, right? 1 Corinthians 14:12, I think, again, is like the climax of his exhortation. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. He's talking about love, right? The purpose of gifts, why God gives these gifts, is that we might love one another. So the common goal of all of our gifts is love. I've done a poor job managing our time. I'd love to talk more about how we know what gifts we have. So let me just, instead of discuss it, give a quick exhortation that I think the best way to know what gift you have is to be a faithful member of a church, to see a need and meet a need, right? We discover our gifts, I think, when we are faithfully involved in the life of the church, pouring out our service in good for others. And as we find that particular people are blessed by, or that we're good at a particular way of loving others, well, you might be onto something in your gift. Right? How God has gifted you. And I just want to exhort us. If your perception of what your gift is keeping you from serving, of loving one another, so you have misunderstood why God gifts us. God doesn't give us useless gifts, right? To say that, oh, God gave me this and therefore I can't serve this church, right? Well, I would tell you that you've misunderstood the point of the gifts. And I would also encourage you to desire other gifts, right? Paul does this as well. Desire the higher gifts. If you think that you're not able to serve because you're not gifted, well, the exhortation for you is to pray, to earnestly seek the other gifts. And then finally, that we can grow in our gifts, right? I would say that I have the gift of teaching. I started with teaching children. How do you think my first sermon ever went?
Fantastic.
No. How do you think my 100th sermon went? Whatever, which one was my 100th sermon?
Better than the first.
Maybe better than my first. Yeah. You know, maybe had to get worse before I got better, right? I send an email to a number of people every week asking for feedback on my sermon. We discuss it in our two-person staff meeting every Tuesday, my teaching, right? We give feedback to other teachers as they teach here, right? But it is a gift of the Spirit, right? Shouldn't it just be... No. We improve in our gifts. We grow in our gifts, right? We exercise our gifts. We receive feedback. We receive teaching. We receive correction. We receive encouragement that we might grow in these gifts. Well, I wish we could say so much more, brothers and sisters. Let's close in prayer. Father, we give praise to you that by your Spirit you have given us each gift, grace gifts. Father, we do not deserve these, but Lord, they have been given to us not only for our good, for our service to your body, but Lord, for the good of the body. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom as we consider the gifts that you have given us. Lord, we pray that we would exercise our gifts in the context of your body, Lord, as we are members one of each other, Lord, for our building up. Lord, that each part of this body might work together, that we might grow in love. Lord, I pray that you would build us up one in the other. Lord, I pray that we would have confidence that you do not give gifts needlessly. Lord, that you give gifts that are needed for the body. Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom in how to use our gifts, to grow in our gifts. Lord, that our church might be built up in love. It's in Christ's name that we pray all this. Amen.